What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Real Talk with Heather and Andres. Real talk, real solutions, real answers. No fluff, just honest conversation that moves you forward. You know, let's get into it. And I'm excited for today, Heather. What are we talking about today?
So today we're talking about something a little less glamorous, but still super important. And it goes hand in hand with the book we're going to be discussing on Thursday. And that is Realtor Membership Trends. And I know we've all heard like the gloomy stories, the happy stories, everything like that. But we're going to give you guys real answers to those real statistics that are out there for you to find.
Nice, nice. I think this is great because given the book that we're talking this week, these are hard facts that we need to know before we jump in, because at the same time is some of the things that people are jumping out of the business, right? So I think it's great stuff. Again, things that we need to know that we often just bypass and think we can jump into a real estate career and right away be making millions of dollars of people see it on TV, right?
I think that's the giant misconception. And there's two sides to that, right? There's the side where we're just rolling in the cash, and then there's the side where realtors don't do anything. So we're not doing anything, but we're also rolling in the cash. So where's the truth in that?
Right. And man, in TV, it looks always simple, right? It's like, oh, I can do that job. Not a problem.
Instagram realtors.
$1 million listings, right? Forget the names of the shows. I don't blame that. I used to watch some of those shows. I haven't watched any in a while, but just to get a good idea and look at those houses, I'm like, okay. But man, going in today, over the past three years, you were an agent during the COVID times, right? How would your experience?
No, I mean coming out of the COVID times. So I wasn't an agent during the COVID time.
How was your experience during that time? Right after you joined.
I actually, it was crazy because it was such an interesting time in real estate that basically nothing I learned in real estate school applied to your everyday life as a realtor. So it was a very much adapt and learn on the spot type of situation. And then as COVID, you know, wound down and people got away from the pandemic, started going out in the real world again, it went back to the way it was before. So I had to, again, adjust to the new market where those rules did apply now. So it was very interesting, very chaotic, very very hectic, very stressful because everything was just crazy at that time.
Hold on. I mean, you just said something there very important. I got to roll back to that because you said nothing you learned in school applied to what you were doing on your actual job, which sounds like every other job you go out there for school, right? University, you go to four-year college. But really, once you get to the job is where you really learn the intricates of doing the business and things like that. So you're saying it's just about the same thing in the real estate space.
Yeah, correct. And there's really no cut and dry because no two transactions are going to be identical. So each one is going to have its own path that you have to walk. It's not like this is exactly how it's going to go every single time playbook. But even still, when I first started, it was crazy. What about you, Andres? Were you an agent during the pandemic? It was a little bit later, right?
Yeah, it was much later. It was during the pandemic, I was in a whole completely different field, which it was hectic during the pandemic because I was in the medical field, quite busy during that time. But no, I completely, I became an agent right after the interest rates went up to about 6.5% or so. And I've been in it just since, and a lot of people say, man, it's a tough market. There's nobody, no buyers. It's really tough, and which brought the topic of what we're talking about today, right? You know, real estate agents dropping out of the business, and given the circumstances of the market, agents that most likely started during the time I started or when you started are dropping out of the business. You know, so I would say it's from my personal level, starting at that time, yes, it has not been easy, but it also has been a blessing. You know, because I've learned so much in different angles from different people, that I have not seen the, you know, what people call all gray market, like the pandemic where everybody's just buying. I haven't experienced that. And like you said, every transaction is unique. You have to approach it differently. There's many challenges from every transaction on different angle. So yeah, I think I came in at a time where it has been difficult for many other agents that experienced great success before. And then in that case, I have learned so much from the things around me in the current circumstances. So, yeah, it's, for me, it has been great, honestly.
Yeah. No, I came in at a great time. No, things weren't crazy.
No, and it's so, you know, it's the approach, I would say. Like, I was talking to an agent yesterday, and many other agents in his office, and he's working with Cloud Realty and got some internal leads. And, like, many people get discouraged when they talk to a lead that is not ready to move forward,
yeah.
You know? And that's because they're focusing on their own thing. You know, they want to treat some of these people like they're walking into a grocery store and you're ready to go. You walk into a furniture store, let's go. Ready to go right now and purchase a home. And we're in a business of relationships, you know, for the long term. You're talking to people that you may not talk again with them for a month. Some agents, some people get discouraged, like, oh, they ghosted me. Like, we're not entitled. We're not supposed to get ghosted. It happens to all of us, right? But I think on an agent side perspective, we often forget that these people have a life. You know, some people focus on getting, on moving the needle forward rather than relationship. And these people that are coming through, they have a life, they have work, they have families. They're not going to pick up the phone and call you or pick up the phone every time you call, especially if they don't know you or they haven't built that trust.
Yeah.
You know, so when you treat the business like that, you really don't see the aspect of, okay, I'm not having enough conversations. I'm not moving forward because you're still in contact with these people. You're still building that relationship. And when they're ready, you can walk them into their new home.
It's the lack of commitment to the long-term nurture.
That is true. That's exactly it. You know, it's focusing on the wrong thing. You know, so it happens. And I think these numbers that we mentioned today shows some of that, right? Because you see a number of agents that are dropping out of the business or dropping their memberships. And I understand there's a number of agents that you have to sustain a level of income for your home. I respect that. You know, that's totally understandable. You want to have some consistency at home. So these numbers may reflect, that people that are just taking a step away from real estate and focusing on what's bringing consistent income and eventually getting back on it, you know.
Let's talk about those numbers. So number one would be NAR membership trends, the official numbers. So as of May 31st, 2025, NAR reports about 1.4 million members, and that's down from the peak of 1.6 million in late 2022. So membership is declining, but like you said, there are reasons for that. Maybe, you know, they want to be at home, making sure they have that stable income coming in for the family. But the forecast ahead is that they're predicting a drop to about 1.2 million in the coming years. So they are expecting the numbers to decline rather than increase. Now, do you think that it's just the lack of stability? Do you think maybe the lawsuit plays into that at all? Do you think maybe there's a fear of people wanting to become realtors because of that?
I think it's all of the above. It's a combination of things, people that were not handling the business, approaching it the right way, or do not have the systems in place to sustain their production. You know, now when people are not knocking on their door looking to buy a home, they don't have any business coming through, right? A lot of people get in the business to simply work on their sphere, right? I've talked to a number of people that I've had business, but it's only people I know, you know? So I think it's all of the above and just agents. And like we talked a few months ago, you really have to do your due diligence into put yourself in the best position, budget-wise, looking at the whole picture to get you into a position over the first year in the business to help you stay there, you know, create that longevity. Whether you're joining a team, whether you're solo, you got to look at the whole picture. Otherwise, your source of income is not consistent, and then you're looking for something else to bring that consistency in place at home.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, it's unfortunate, but that's it is. We don't plan, especially when it's our business. I feel like as agents, we don't handle our business the way we should. We don't treat it as a business.
I was going to say, you're not treating it as a business.
We don't treat ourselves as an employee in our business. We treat it as I can do whatever I want. And that's exactly the problem. Mm. You know, you do whatever you want and it's not being productive for your business. The next thing there is, you know, they were talking about their free shirt. According to the NRS survey, 74% of agents say that they're certain they'll stay in the business, just like we mentioned, for at least 2 years. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're completely out because they drop out of the membership. It's just, you know, with this market being slow, they may be focus their energy over other areas and don't want to pay the membership fees, especially if they know they are not going to generate, you know. So the numbers not necessarily means that they're getting out. It's just memberships dropping. But let's see, this has been a consistent trend, right? Over the years, we have seen that 87% of agents fall. And we'll continue to dive into that.
Within the first 5 years, that is crazy. And again, I think it goes back to lack of systems, lack of being prepared. They don't know what to expect when they become a real estate agent. They think that income is just going to start flowing in. And what you have to realize when you're a real estate agent and you're living off of commission, when you have a normal 9-to-5 job, you go to work, most people get paid like every 2 weeks. Let's just say that's, you know, the average pay scale is every 2 weeks. So even if they hold your first check and you don't get paid for the first month, after that, you know that check is coming every 2 weeks. You're trading your hours for dollars and you're getting that check. It's consistent. When you're a real estate agent, you don't get paid till something closes. And when something goes under contract, depending on the type of loan, unless it's cash, you're looking at 30 to 45 days close, right? And that's if everything goes smoothly and there's no, you know, 8-day extension or anything like that. You don't extend your diligence period out further. I mean, if everything goes smoothly, you're looking at, you know, about a month before you're going to get paid if it closes, because not everything closes. Some things fall out. So when you don't budget or plan accordingly for that, it makes it very hard to sustain a business with no other income.
Absolutely. One of my mentors said, look, you need to have 2 to 3 pendants. You want to get paid every month? You need to have 2 to 4 pendants every month so that you are continuously rotating. Doesn't mean you wait for those 4 deals to close and you get 4 more. That means those deals are closing and you already have something expecting to close next month and you're continuously productive, right? And another thing is, you even mentioned, in this business, like you just said, 87% either drop out of the business within 5 years or AO, and the other 13%, you're either financially free. Like, what activities are you doing to get you there? Are you financially free within 5 years or are you dropping out of the business because you didn't create the system, you didn't create the longevity, continuity that allows you to be free there?
Now, I had a coach that said, never let current business get in the way of future business. Because if you're, like you said, if you're not planning for that future business, if you're not lead generation, doing your lead generation, if you don't have something pending, you're not going to have anything closing the next month.
Yeah, it happens too often. People wait until the deal closes, and they think that's it. Oh, once that closes, I'll generate a new one. No, you got to continuously do it, all right, in order to create that longevity and have the monthly income that you're looking to get. Otherwise,
so in other words, like, sales aren't little projects. You don't focus on one project, and then when that project's complete, you start another project, and then complete that one and start another one. You can't work it like that. If you work it like that, you're going to be one of the ones that leaves the business.
Seriously, just imagine, you know, how long did it take you to get one? That's one thing they don't think about. And if you're tracking out your numbers, you should know exactly how many conversations you need to have in order to get the next buyers or listing agreement and so on. So it's a numbers game, right?
Exactly. And you know what we didn't even take into account in those numbers we were talking about earlier? I just said when something goes under contract, that doesn't include the timeline of getting it under contract. And that is finding a client, figuring out if they're a buyer or a seller, listing their house or selling their house, or that's the same thing, listing their house or finding a house. And then once you find the house, then you go under contract. So how long did it take you to get from no client to a client to the clients under contract? Because the money clock doesn't even start until they're under contract.
Yeah, something they mentioned is for every buyer or listing I have on the contract, I need to have for every one pending, I need to have two on the buyer or listing agreement. Minimum. We're searching for a home, we're getting the property ready to list it. One deal closed, the other one is active, and so on. So you need to always pay attention to those numbers so that you can have that consistency coming through. But like I said, you can't wait until one project is done and then, oh, let me start looking for it. Let me start calling people again now that this deal closed. Doesn't work like that.
So, do you think lack of lead generation or knowing how to get leads is what leads to a lot of the turnover within the first 5 years?
Lack of lead generation. I think that's certainly one of it, right? Because as a new agent, and I'm talking on my experience, right? I came into the business. I didn't know much about real estate. I always wanted to be in real estate, right? But I didn't know what it takes to generate a new business. I didn't know the type of conversation, what I needed to look for, who I needed to talk to. You know, where to look for the people that were somewhat interested in buying or selling. And I feel as a new agent, if you don't come in and you don't have a good solid background on not just relying on your fields of influence, mind you, I moved to a different state and became an agent in a different state where I knew absolutely nobody. You know, if you don't know where to generate leads, you don't know what to do to generate new business, and you don't have a structure around you that's going to help you do that, you're in a tough position. It's, you don't know where to go. You don't know what direction to go, you know? So it's just a matter of really putting yourself in a position to grow on a step-by-step basis, whether you have a team that is holding you down, showing you the everything, right? Whether to generate leads, how to have those conversations, creating the listings, all of those things in place. You need to have somebody around you that's going to help you do those things, that is going to guide you to some extent, you know? At the end of the day, you need to have the conversation, you need to have the drive, you need to have the, you know, the push to make this happen, because people are not going to do it for you. That's something I learned in this business. Yeah. People are going to tell you what you need to do. They're going to show you what you need, where you can get the data, where you can get the script, but nobody can do it for you. You have to be willing to grind it out, make the calls, get rejected 99 times to get one yes. And that's the one way that you're going to be able to grow. And over time, you implement the systems. A lot of people I've seen focus on the wrong thing at the wrong time. I see agents, oh, I want to build a website. I want to have this in place. I want to do that in place. I want to learn the intricates of the contracts. Well, that doesn't do you any good if you don't have a buyer or seller to work with on that contract. You know, you want to learn the contract, you want to learn the entire process. First and foremost, you need a client to be able to figure out what the contracts and how to write that offer. You know, so it's just, they focus on the wrong thing at the wrong time. If you're a new agent, you got to focus on having conversations. Have conversations. You're going to screw it up a number of times, and that's totally okay. You know, you just got to get better every single one. Identify where what you did wrong, how you can change, and progress from there. And over time, you're going to develop the rest scripts. You're going to develop your own way of doing things. And over time, you're going to create the system, implement the systems that allow you to continue to generate more business without you being involved in that aspect of the business all the time. But first and foremost is having conversation. One of my coach says, if you're not having conversations, you need to focus 8 hours a day on trying to have conversations.
As I think where a lot of people lose focus and don't realize how hard it is to be a real estate agent. Because if you're just sitting around waiting for the phone to ring, it's not going to ring as often as you like. I'm not saying it's never going to ring, because I'm sure every once in a while someone will send you a referral and that phone will ring. But you're not going to have a consistent pipeline of buyers and sellers waiting for the phone to ring. You've got to be proactive, whether you're out there door knocking, whether you're, you know, buying leads, whether you're running ads, whether you're calling your seller. You have to be doing something proactively every day to get future business. Otherwise, you will have no future business, and then you will have no future in the industry.
Yeah, you have to. You have to allocate that golden hours, like I said. You know, if you're just starting, 6 hours. You got to treat yourself as an employee in your business. 6 hours to 8 hours to prospecting. Get more business.
I know a very successful real estate agent at one of my old offices who her strategy was Facebook, and not the way you think. She literally spent hours every day on Facebook, commenting, liking, sharing, like going through commenting on everybody's stuff, just being so active on Facebook that her stuff continued to show up in everybody's newsfeed because the algorithm picked her up because she was so active. And then when she would post about real estate, she did get the phone calls. She did get the calls because she was top of mind to everybody, because she was, everything they were seeing on Facebook was her. Every time they posted something, oh, how cute your daughter is, or happy birthday to your dog. You know, she was right there active, and that was her strategy. And that's what worked for her. That may not work for everybody. Not everybody has a good Facebook following or a good Facebook connected group that they're in that's going to have those kind of leads that they can get from doing Facebook like that. But for her, that worked. So it doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to be something that the top coaches are saying to do. If it works for you, it works for you. Just do it.
Yeah. And they got to start somewhere, right? Even if you're not into it. I was not someone in social media. I'm still not the way I should be, you know, but it's progressing over time over the past 3 years. And so one thing we often forget is those views that you get on social media, I mean, it's some two eyeballs on the other side looking at it, viewing your content. So you must start with 5. You must start with 10. You know, just one. That's somebody else looking at your content. And over time, that's going to grow. Over time, people are building trust in what you're putting out there. And I think we don't do that enough nowadays. We want to put content out there to just show this beautiful home. And I saw a video from Ryan Serhant. A lot of times we're putting content out there just to show the square footage of the property, how look the property looks, right? But really, we should be creating content that is connecting with the people. They're looking for answers. And that's the type of thing that we need to put out there more often. You know, I help so-and-so with this deal because they were going through this. This is their experience, right? How many people are relating to that situation? Rather than the square footage of the house, rather than the kitchen. But what do you see out there? Just kitchen, nice videos of the home. Homes that a lot of people are, okay, I wish I had a house like that. But that's not answering my problem right now. So Social media works. You just got to use it the right way.
Yep, very true. And a lot of people don't. And a lot of people are scared of social media.
Yeah, they are. Hey, I was. and like I said, we have views on, we started the podcast. We haven't had the number of views that we wanted. I was still putting out content out there. That hasn't deterred us from stopping. Right, if we're looking at what we're doing, how we can improve on a daily basis, bring better content. It's just a matter of really, we learn a lot from our failures. And that's our best teacher in life. You know, I truly believe that. I've heard a number of people say that. We learn from our failures, and that's how we're going to get better. But we are, in so many ways, too afraid of rejection. We are too afraid of failure and what comes with it. And the beauty of that is growth. And we need to be more receptive of that and be willing to get up there. So yeah, if you look at these numbers from real estate agents getting off the business, don't be discouraged by it, you know, because we all have different experiences and it's all really determined by how much you put in there. You know, are you one of those that not going to commit or treat it as a business and just do the bare minimum to try to make it by and think you can make millions in real estate by just being in real estate? Or are you going to be one of those that get in there and start doing the work from day zero? You know, and that's the difference between the 1% and the 99%.
It really is. And knowing the job and knowing what you have to do, because there's so much more to it once you actually become a real estate agent that you see. You know, it's the lead generating. Then it's showing of houses or scheduling showings, setting up showing times if you're the listing agent, and then going over the offers if you're the listing agent, or submitting offers, writing offers, submitting offers if you're the buying agent. And then after that point, you've got to negotiate that contract. So you go under contract. Now we're doing due diligence. We're doing the inspection. We've got to call, make sure the lender is doing what they're supposed to do, make sure title is doing what they're supposed to do. We have to be a babysitter of basically that whole transaction. There is so many places where you have to be on top of your game and so many things that you have to do. Without systems, you're definitely not going to have the results that you want to have.
Yeah. And it's just getting there. And, you know, get more business and you start implementing your system as you go along. But if without the business, without people to close the deals, you can't put those systems in place.
Exactly.
So you got to take it step by step and make it happen.
Exactly. You can't be like, oh, I want to make sure all my systems are in place. My website is perfect. My scripts are perfect. Everything is perfect. And then I'll find a client. No, you need to find a client. Like, you don't even know how to use your systems yet because you don't have anybody. So how are you going to even know what the system is if you've never used the system? So get a client. Step one, get a client.
And it's happened so many times. You know, I've seen that. Hey, I was one of those to some extent. I was like, oh, I would like to get a website. It looks nice. Really? Don't need a damn website. Sorry, but I don't. That will come later on.
I mean, websites are great. Don't get me wrong. They're awesome. They definitely help, but it doesn't do any good without a client. And yes, yeah. once you've had a few clients and you can then dedicate the time, actually what I would suggest is instead of trying to set up the website yourself, have a few clients, get some closings, and then pay somebody to do that so that you're not spending time on that when you could be spending time on something else.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. Yeah, I do have the website, but it's not my focus anymore. So I want you to go in there and be like, oh, you guys talk about not having a website. He has a website. Yes. After trial and error, I do have a website, but it's not my focus anymore. So, yeah, focus on the things that are going to generate more business, and that's conversations. Everything else will follow.
Exactly. Well, we're not saying don't have a website, because websites are great lead magnets, and websites are a great way to get business. But don't halt every type of lead generation you're doing to work on this website that's one day going to bring you business.
That's right. This is great stuff, man. I think we got to bring some more of this topic, which goes in line with what we're talking on Thursday, right? Becoming a real estate agent. We'll dive into some more of these details of becoming an agent and the things that you got to look at once you're an agent and obtain your license and the day-to-day operations. Like we said before, it's not just real estate. We got to have that. Sometimes you have to be not an appraiser, but you have to be a consultant. You have to be a therapist. You have to wear many hats throughout the process. So,
yes,
but it's fun.
Many hats you have to wear. And we will be going over that book, The Ultimate Guide to Becoming a Real Estate Agent, on Thursday. If you want to snag your copy ahead of time, and again, it's not like a huge chapter book you have to read, it's more of like a little pamphlet, go ahead and scan that QR code at the top of the screen, and that is where you can find your download. It is free, and you'll also have access to our community Real Talk with Heather and Andres, or if you guys have any questions, you can talk with us or other community members. And also go to our website, www.realtalkha.live, if you are interested in becoming a real estate agent or actually any type of professional in that industry. We have a partnership with the CE Shop where we can offer you guys some heavily discounted classes on your continuing education and your core classes to become any type of agent in those industries.
Absolutely. Man, you said it all.
You got really everything. Fast.
You get it all. I appreciate everyone hanging out with us. And again, Real Talk with Heather and Andres. If something hit home, something you like, tag us, let us know. And if you want to be a guest here with us, go to our website, check out the application, and we'll be love to have you on board. Talk about your business, your story, your journey. You let us know what you want to talk about, and we're excited to have you here. So, again, don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you on Thursday with the book.
See you guys on Thursday.
Bye.